This is the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast, a weekly BYU sports conversation between me, your host Adam Mangum, and my brother Matt. You can join our conversation anytime you'd like on Twitter at BYU underscore Rise Shout and on Facebook at facebook.com/Rise and Shout. This week, in episode 271, Matt and I discuss the big win against Gonzaga. Where does that rank all time among BYU hoops victories? And where does it rank among all BYU sports victories? Then we preview the WCC tournament and talk a little football before spring camp opens next week. This is the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout podcast. Get all of your Cougar news at CougarFan.com. Check us out at DeseretNews.com/podcast. Subscribe to us on iTunes. And listen to Matt and I talk about beating Gonzaga right now. CougarFan.com Rise and Shout podcast. Matt, you're about to give your Jordan's flu game.
Yeah, that's what this is. This is just like Jordan's flu game.
You're a little under the weather, maybe a lot under the weather.
Jordan's flu and the magnitude of the two events through which we are going to work sick are pretty much the same.
We're about to talk about one of the most epic wins in BYU history. So yeah, I'd say so.
Pretty much.
So Matt, make folks aware of a few things before we start, and then we're just going to jump right into it, all right? Because we've only got, I don't know how many minutes of you we have before you, like, pass out, but we should
use it. Yeah, I'm not sure either. It could happen any minute, any second.
Any second. So let's use what we got. So we are now part of the Deseret News podcast network. You can go to DeseretNews/podcast to find each episode of the show. And you'll also see us pop up on the Deseret News sports page on occasion. So definitely, if you're looking for the podcast or if you've had friends who wouldn't listen because we were, quote unquote, not legitimate, we were, and now we are even more so.
Or we weren't, and we still aren't. Either way,
yes, correct.
They should listen.
Correct. That has not changed. That has not changed. So, Matt, let's just jump. We've got a few things to talk about. So let's just jump into the CougarFan.com Cougars in the News. Now, do you need me to do that for you this week?
Oh, jeez. I was all over it. I had it. You cut me short.
I'm sorry. Let's try this again.
I was building up the runway. I was taking my deep breath. I was ready to go. Now, I can't guarantee what will happen when I finish it. I'm pretty sure I'm going to have to mute.
All right. Let's do this.
Walk me into it again.
So it's the CougarFan.com Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the News!
That wasn't bad. That wasn't bad. So Matt Jimmer shined in a playoff game, 39 points in a overtime thriller in their first playoff game, a double-double in the huge overtime win. So once again, China is now, do we call it Jimmerland? The land of the Jimmer?
He's pretty much taken over, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the Politburo just handed over the keys to the whole country to him.
Yep, pretty much.
Wait a second. Does China have a Politburo? They do, right?
I was going to say, I'll be honest with you. I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah, you just care about the Russian version of communism. You don't care about the Chinese version of communism.
Yeah, I'm not real read up on that one.
So, Matt, that's all the Cougars in the News we have time for today because we got to get to some other things. But as a reminder to folks, you can support my Kickstarter for my new science fiction books, the Sycorax series. Go to Kickstarter and search Sycorax, Sycorax, to do that. And a few people have asked about my new geek podcast. Hasn't started yet. It's also going to be a Deseret News podcast. We should be publishing the first one. This is Monday night. We should be publishing either later this week or early next week. The best way to keep in contact with us right now is on Twitter. That's at Bleep Podcast. The name of the podcast will be Bleep the Podcast. All geek, all awesome. And just like Captain America, watch your language, people. It'll be PG rated.
Sounds bleeping awesome.
It does sound bleeping awesome. It'll be the best bleeping podcast you've ever bleeping listened to. All right.
I bleep and believe it. Yeah. It's going to be some great bleep.
That's right. That's right. It is. All right. So, Matt, Saturday night, you were sick. And I believe you may not have watched this live. Is that correct?
I'm not going to confirm or deny that. I'm just going to say there was some NyQuil. It was a, and, you know, maybe a little bit more than the 30 milligrams that are recommended for an adult male. They were down. They were down, and I was dying.
So Matt, let me ask you this. After that beginning, where in the first 4 minutes, BYU, it felt like we're down like 80 to nothing, which, of course, is not true. It was a lot less dire than that. I mean, if you had been a casual college basketball fan and not someone associated with BYU, you turn it off, right?
Like, unless you were into watching the Zags go for the perfect season.
Yeah, but then you come back to it, right? Like,
maybe.
Right? If you're a casual fan, you come back to it. You're just like, who cares? Right? I mean, I would have turned the channel and come back because you're interested in the outcome for sure. But I'll tell you what, Matt. Good thing for those of us that stuck around, and I'm sure you've seen all the highlights and all such, right?
So we're watching the game, right? It's in the first half. We're watching the game. And I'd been putting off taking anything, and I was struggling. I couldn't breathe. It was bad. And so finally I'm like, you know what? I can't do this, and I don't know if I can stand to watch it. So you know, I end up falling asleep. When I wake up Sunday morning, the first thing my wife says to me is, you know, BYU won last night. It's all over Facebook. I'm like, oh, great. Well, that's just great. That's just great.
It's Facebook.
That's just great.
Well, let me tell you this, Matt. Anyway. Halfway through, yeah, it started out, you know, 20-5, okay? But halfway through the half, it was still 23-9, okay? 23-9. And with at 10 minutes left to go in the half, we're still down 14 points, down 23-9, missing basically everything. Amika missed two free throws shortly before this. I almost turned the game off and went to do some other things. I didn't know if I could endure BYU getting thumped by 30 points. I just didn't think I could do it. Nor could I endure later on in the game when Shaw would make three turnovers, three plays in a row.
Yikes.
But Matt, things started to turn around, right?
Yeah, and by the end of the half, they're like, oh man, they might get in this.
Well, the end of the half, they're down 41-35, and I thought, you know, they're playing a good game. They're going to make this respectable. They're not going to get blown out of the gym, right? And 14 minutes left, they're down 10. And I thought, you know, they've kept this. Their best two games of the year might have come against Gonzaga, right? And I'm assuming they're going to lose, right? That, you know, Gonzaga's depth and all this stuff, there's just not going to be enough. And then, when T.J. Haws hits the jumper that puts them ahead after Meek had already taken the lead, then when Mika threw down, have you seen that? When he threw down Karnowski by the arm?
Oh, yeah.
I thought, what is happening here? And Mika gets another foul on like 2 seconds later, but those were his first two fouls of the game. Anyway, so Matt, let me ask you this, okay? Before we get to the tweet bag questions, which we have a ton. Bigger play. Mika's block of Collins, which was a massive block that was all over SportsCenter, or Kafusi's offensive rebound putback to put BYU up by 4 with 19 seconds to go.
I'm going to go with the putback. I would have gone with the block if you'd asked me this yesterday, just because I had seen it before I got to watch the game. But after watching the game, I think you got to go with the putback.
That's the game winner.
Deal.
That's the game winner. right? Like, that is now all of a sudden it's a two possession ball game with 19 seconds, and you have incredible free throw shooters.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And BYU did not miss a free throw from then on out. Four free throws made, two by Mika, two by Emery. Now, the Emery ones were kind of, I mean, it would have been, if he had missed both, it would still been 6 points with 4 seconds to go. So, I mean, not much going on there. But I'm kind of with the offensive rebound. I have to say Mika's jumpers, those long jumpers, like,
yeah, where from the top of the key and
yeah,
stuff?
Where they just decided Karnowski was defending him, which was a terrible decision by Mark Few. You've got to have an athletic guy on Mika at that point in the game, right? But he put Karnowski. Yeah. Karnowski couldn't go up and guard him because he would just blow by Karnowski and dunk it, right? So but you don't have to take those shots either. You could just decide that's not the right shot. And Mika took it twice in a row. He's like, no, that is the right shot. And he makes it. So we'll get back to Eric Mika here in a minute. So this is a question, the first question out of the tweet bag.
Tweet bag.
That's you. This is Jordan's flu performance, Matt. You're breaking out all the stops. Crushing you're still it. Doing the sound effects. You're doing great.
Crushing it. I was on mute for like 45 seconds after the Cougars and the news, but Tweetbag worked out okay.
I know. I just kept
That's
saying
That's like getting
stuff.
An IV at halftime. That's
yeah.
what that was.
Yeah, I just kept saying stuff. All right, so this is Justin Waters. That's at Justin W. Waters 1 on Twitter. He asked this. Did all the
Justin
stars...
Justin Waters!
Do you know Justin Waters?
Just saying hi. Just saying hi to the man.
Just saying his name. All right.
Yeah, I know Justin
Waters.
I
don't know if that Waters. Was a friend of yours or something.
He's a good guy.
He's a good guy. All right, Justin. Did all the stars align against the Zags, or is BYU finally becoming who they are supposed to? Also, how can you knock off the number one team for the first time in history after being beaten by St. Mary's 2 weeks ago by 20 points? Matt, let's stick with the first one, because that's the biggest question of the night, right? Was this just a great night of basketball, or was this the beginning of something?
This is just a great night of basketball, everybody. I mean, I'm not trying to throw a wet towel on it because it was an amazing night of basketball.
Boy,
and we'll talk about where it fits in the list of Cougar wins. But I think this is more in the stars aligned category than this team has finally like come to maturity or whatever.
I think we need to give you more NyQuil, Mr. Wet Towel. Cold bucket of water on our heads.
Well, don't you worry. There is more NyQuil in my future.
I have no doubt of that. So, Matt, I'm going to respectfully disagree with you. I think this is more things to come, and here's why. Okay? Number one, Mika was awesome, but of course, he's had awesome games. Though, we'll get to this in a second. I think this might be his best because of the competition level. Hawes, still too many turnovers. 5 turnovers for Hawes. Tied for the game lead with Shaw, who had 5-3 in like 5 seconds. Shaw, never see him again. But Hawes had those 17 points, a lot of shots, but he had assists, he had boards. If he can get those turnovers under control, Matt, he's starting to look special. And then here's the guy that I'm most excited about right now, who may be a different level of player than we thought, and that's Elijah Bryant. Not a great shooting night.
He does seem to be coming along, doesn't he?
Yeah. 14 points, 5 boards, 3 assists, 3 steals, 37 minutes. Excellent defense. All right? By the way, the defense over the last couple weeks has been awesome. They've been awesome. I mean, after that first barrage, they basically... Gonzaga had to work for every freaking shot.
Yep.
Or every bleeping shot, I guess, to advertise my own podcast that doesn't exist yet. But Matt, I think this is something. I also think you saw Kafusi and Bayo play actually meaningful roles in the game. Gwen, which I wish he could get every minute that Shaw ever gets, plus his own. I think we would have been better off with 16 minutes of him than 8 minutes of Shaw. And then, you know, I look at this and I go, yes, there's still a flawed team. But as the announcers kept saying, every meaningful player on this team now, every major contributor is a freshman or a sophomore.
Yeah.
I think this is – I'm not saying they're going to win the WCC tournament. We'll get to that in a second. But I think this is the sign of things to come. I think we were too impatient this season and had unrealistic expectations, especially with the two seniors getting hurt. Any rebuttals to that?
No, I mean, this could end up being, you know, the watershed win for this group. It might. I mean, I'm not going to say it definitely isn't, but I'm not ready to jump on that train quite yet.
All right. All right, you big baby. All right. So he says, so it is. All right, Matt, next question is, where does this win rank? Okay. So let's first stick with just basketball wins before we get to another tweet bag question. All right. So here are all of BYU's wins against top five teams in the history of the program. Are you ready?
Yep.
1955, we beat in overtime number five, Utah. And we split a pair of games that weekend. We were finished 13-3. So that's the first time. In 1958, we beat number three, Kansas State. Their only loss of the season in the Smithfield House before Big 8 play, undefeated and climbing to number one in the ranking. Okay? That was a very good Kansas State team. 1965, this one is crazy. Beat St. Joseph 103-83. St. Joseph was ranked number two. St. Joseph did not qualify for the NCAA tournament because they were second in their conference, and back then only one team went per conference. Okay? And then the BYU went on to win the NIT by beating Temple, Army, New York University, NYU, and St. Joseph. Kind of a crazy, crazy run. That would not happen today because St. Joseph's would have been probably a one or two seed in a modern tournament. 1981, BYU 79, number two, UCLA 75. They would finish 21-6. The Cougars, though, would be 17-3, but UCLA, and this was on the road. That was in Pauley Pavilion to a very good UCLA team. And then one of my favorites, Matt, you may remember, 2011, we beat number five San Diego State. We beat them twice in the regular season and then lost in the Mountain West Tournament Championship game. But Jimmer had 43 in that game. And then, of course, against Gonzaga. Now, just out of those games, and we beat number three Gonzaga 2 years ago. Kyle Collinsworth, 20 points, 8 boards, 3 assists. This was our first of this run of now 3 straight victories in Spokane. Matt, where does this rank among those top 5 wins?
See, this is tough. This is tough to do. I mean, I have some severe Jimmer recency bias.
Yeah.
You know, so I love that 2011 game. 43 points. They were a top five team. I mean, it was on primetime television, if I remember correctly.
Yep. Yes, it was.
That was a big game.
It was huge. That was huge.
It was a big win on a big stage. That's a big deal. I also really like the 1958 win over Kansas State. When you think about it, that's pretty crazy. They weren't one when we beat them, but they ended up being ranked number one.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty so crazy.
That's a pretty big win, too. So I probably narrow this group down that you just talked through to last weekend's game, the Jimmer game against San Diego State and the Kansas State win, and I don't know what I do after that. I don't know.
It's
Is this
tough.
The biggest ever?
It's tough.
I mean, number one team on the road?
Yes, I think it's the biggest win ever. I think now it's hard to go back and when some of those older wins, right? It's easier for us to compare. It's bigger than when we beat Gonzaga 2 years ago, right? Because Gonzaga is number one and was undefeated. It's bigger than, right, say, Utah in 1955, though that was probably a big game. But that Kansas State game, number two in the land, St. Joseph, and then went in the NIT, beating UCLA when they were supposed to win a championship that year. Now, they ended up being just okay, relatively speaking. I think the answer is yes. At the risk of recency bias, this Gonzaga team might be – it's probably the best team we've ever beaten. Now, some old-timers will probably disagree, and they might be right about games in the 50s against Utah when we were both very, very good. But at least in my lifetime, I think this is the best team we've ever beat. So I think it's number one.
Yeah. Probably.
Or
yeah,
two.
It might be.
Maybe it's behind those pair of wins against San Diego State just because of the Jimmer factor, and also we were a much better team, obviously, than the team is this year. So, Matt, Justin D. Sweeney has a big question for us.
Sweeney.
That's at Justin D. Sweeney on Twitter. Sweeney says this: compare the 1990 Miami win versus the Zags win. Zags held the number one. The Zags number one holds more weight, in his opinion, as it is at the end of the year and 29-0, not a preseason ranking. Matt, does this rank above the 1990 game against Miami?
See, I have a hard time crossing over here between football and basketball.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough, for sure.
So, you know, and the other thing too, and I'm not wanting to take anything away from Gonzaga here, because Gonzaga is a very good team, and they will be a number one seed. They should be a number one seed in the tournament. But if you look at what's happened to number one ranked teams this year, I mean, it's kind of a war of attrition, right? They're ranked number one because they're the last ones standing. You know, when none of those teams had lost, Gonzaga, it's not like they'd been holding on to it for, you know, through all of that. Is that, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like other teams were ranked number one before them and then fell.
Yes.
And had those teams not fallen, you know, Gonzaga would have been ranked fifth or something, right? So I think there's some give and take there between the end of the year and the beginning of the year. But to beat the number one ranked team in college football, I just think that's such a big deal just because there's so fewer games. And your opportunity to play that is so rare. If you look at the teams that have held the number one ranking at any point over the past 10 or 15 years or 20 years or whatever, I think your odds of having that opportunity in football are just smaller. So I, in my opinion, I think the football win holds a little bit more weight. It's a little bit bigger of a win.
So I'm a little split on this one for two things. Justin brings out something really good, that was a preseason number one ranking versus a earned ranking by Gonzaga, right? We both agree with that, right?
Yeah, I agree with that.
If you look in context, I'd say the Miami is more important in BYU history because that led to the Heisman, right? And was the start of a special season for Ty Detmer. This is the end of a not special season for Dave Rose and his crew.
Yeah.
That being said, I think this one is bigger because, as Sweeney points out, where it comes in the season. Forget all the context around team and just focus on the game. I don't know. That Miami team, nobody gave us a shot similar to this Gonzaga game, even though it was in Provo. That was considered a juggernaut. I don't know, to your point, if Gonzaga is considered that, though the computers, still the Massey ratings, still have them ranked as the number one team, even with that loss.
Well, and the other thing, I guess, to think about is on that football team, we had a future Heisman Trophy winner run in the team, right?
Yes.
We don't – I mean, maybe we have somebody like that on this squad, but right now I don't – I mean, nobody who's going to win that anything like that this year. So
not,
I think your chances of winning – it's you're a bigger underdog in this basketball win than you were against Miami.
Yeah,
as crazy as that sounds.
I think that's only in retrospect, Matt, because nobody thought Ty Detmer was going to win the Heisman that year. I mean, yeah, he was on some lists because he had good numbers in 1989 and all that stuff. But nobody I mean, he was not like the Heisman frontrunner. That game made him the Heisman frontrunner, right? Like, so I hear what you're saying, but I, you know, if we just look at this game by itself, I think it's close. But like you started, it's really hard to compare across sports, right? Because college basketball teams lose every year, right? They lose every year. Even the really good ones lose a few games a year. That's just how it goes. And what Gonzaga did was remarkable, but I mean, this was, they were going to lose. I mean, unless they won the national championship, they were going to lose a game this year, right? So do we just have their number? I mean, because this has been 3 years in a row with, quite frankly, three vastly different teams and personnel. So when people say like,
I don't know, but if I were a Gonzaga fan, I would hate us. I would hate us so much.
Well, I mean, there were some massive coaching mistakes by Mark Few. And I'm a big fan, and I saw on Twitter some Gonzaga fans calling for him to be fired, which is insane, right? You
stupid.
Just lost your first game of the year. You're going to be a number one seed. What do you think the upside for Gonzaga basketball is? Right?
Yeah, you're probably a Final Four. You may be a Final Four team.
You think you're Kentucky? Like, you think you're going to be a Final Four team routinely? Come on.
Who are you going to hire? Who are you going to hire? You're going to fire him and hire who?
Yeah.
That's crazy. So fans are nuts.
Fans are dumb. I mean, seriously. I'm not being flippant here. Like, that is a stupid opinion. It's insane. It lacks all logic. You have one of the best coaches in the game. Now, did he make mistakes? Absolutely. Even Nick Saban makes mistakes. Like, no coach has a perfect record, right? Like, that just isn't how it works. But Gary Payne has a coaching question for us, Matt. That's at FastBreakGP on Twitter. Thoughts on coaching? Does this
silence... This is Gary Payne, who you just called Gary Payton, by the way.
Did I call him Gary Payton?
You did. Hey! And I was like, Gary Payton listens to the podcast? I did not realize.
Sorry, Gary
didn't
Payton.
Realize.
Well, he says FastBreakGP. That sounds like Gary Payton, doesn't it?
Yeah, I guess.
FastBreakGP?
Yeah. Sorry, you know how Gary. To read.
All right, pain bag. Here we come from the pain bag. Thoughts on coaching. Does this silence some of the Rose haters? Tempo management at the end of the game was masterful, in my opinion. Matt, are we going to silence the Rose haters with this win?
No, because haters got to hate. That's right, and the Rose haters aren't going to go anywhere. You know, just like Taylor Swift said, haters going to hate. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to say, oh, see, these are the people... They're going to say, oh, you know, he got this win, so it's going to get him off the hook when he really should have been fired. Beating Gonzaga was the worst thing that could have happened to this team. Those are the kinds of things that the Dave Rose haters are going to say. I mean, it's like the, you know, here in Baton Rouge, you got you got coach haters here for LSU, right? And everybody wanted Les Miles fired last year before he had a chance to beat somebody big. They're like, quick, we better fire him before he gets a big win and then talks us into keeping him for a year. You know, anyway, that may be a terrible analogy because we'll see how good Coach Orgeron is. But these guys who hate Dave Rose, they just got to hate.
Yeah, they do. They've just got to hate. And they will continue, to your point, they will continue to hate. There's no, I don't think there's any doubt that these folks will. And I've been a little down on Rose this year, or just at least some of the performance. But I'll tell you what, he's absolutely right about the pacing. Like slowing it down at the end, using the clock as your ally against another high-octane offense was very, very good. And
yeah, I think anytime you can control the pace of the game, especially at the end, when you're in control, you get to pick and you can keep that control over the pace. I mean, you're in great shape.
Yeah, you're in great shape. Absolutely. And here's the thing, though. Two things I'm going to mention. Shaw shouldn't be on the floor ever, okay? And I'm not trying to be harsh. He just can't play at this level. He's proven in no games that I've seen him play. Those three turnovers in a row, like, it was in the second half. I mean, I thought we were going to lose just because of that. You know, you don't have that margin of error. And three turnovers in a row is just unacceptable, especially when you got Kafusi and Gwynn and Dastrup. I'd rather see Dastrup out there. Anyway,
speaking of haters, geez,
yeah, sorry. Yeah. But, outside of that, Rose's, the coaching job was masterful in this game. He mixed and matched his lineup well. Their defense, which has been much maligned, though quite frankly, I don't know that we've talked about this the last couple of weeks. I don't think the defense is that bad. I think the defense has come around. I think that the offense has been the problem, but the offense was not a problem on Saturday night. Right? I mean,
the offense was great. It did not become an issue.
The offense was great. So Matt, let's move on here a little bit. Do you think this is Jeremy Ashworth from an email? So Jeremy emailed us at BYU. No, that's not right. At riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. One word, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. He asks if after these losing four games to us and four games to the rest of the WCC over the last few years, do you think Gonzaga regrets having BYU join? I need a Dr. Pepper.
You regret it. It's like whenever you try to say rivalry week, you say
rivalry week.
Turn into Elmer Fudd.
Yeah, it's all right. So Matt, does Gonzaga regret having BYU join the conference?
Absolutely not.
I agree. I'm sure they're annoyed that we've beat them 3 years in a row in Spokane.
Yeah, but at the same time, what is that going to do to them, right? Like, they're probably still going to be a one seed going into the tournament.
Unless they fumble in the WCC tournament, I agree. They will be a number one seed.
And I think they've got a real shot in making it to the Final Four. That is a good basketball team. They happen to drop one. You're going to drop one in 30 games. Like, that's a lot of basketball.
I've seen some people say this nationally. I knew they would. And I think it actually is true. I think it actually benefits them to lose this game.
I hate that theory.
I get it. I know you hate it. We've discussed this before. But here's the thing. The pressure of being undefeated would have been massively high at every game. That's all anyone would have asked them about. Now, people will just ask them about, can you beat so-and-so, right? The next team on the schedule. I know you hate it, but I think in this case it might actually be true. But
no, I don't even know if I buy that. I think they're going to get a lot of, man, how disappointing was it for you to come this close? I mean, I think they could win the tournament. They could be celebrating a national championship, and some knucklehead is going to still ask them, oh, man, how do you feel now about that loss to BYU? You were that close to a perfect season and a run to the national championship.
Right. I get that somebody might ask that, but let me ask you a question. If Tom Brady could have that Super Bowl against the Giants or have lost two games that year, what do you think he chooses?
Oh, yeah, he'd lose two games that year.
That's what I'm saying. I know some knucklehead may say it, but they're going to feel fine about themselves if they win the national championship. I don't think they're going to be sitting there worried about this game against BYU. I don't know. We'll see. So, Matt, it's time to preview the West Coast Conference Tournament.
Here we go.
Are you ready? All right. On Friday. Why am I talking like this? It's a movie trailer. Matt, can I ask you this question before we get started, though?
Can I stop you from asking whatever this question is?
Nope.
Then go right ahead.
When are we going to go to this?
You know, that's actually one of the things I was thinking about today when I started texting you about the football season.
Yeah, what game we're going to go to for football season. Why didn't we go to this?
I think this would be a good trip. The conference tournament would be a good trip to take. But you know what? This isn't the year to go.
Next year
or the year after.
Next year.
That's the year to go.
No, next year's the year to go because Mika's not
And you work in – can we work in some spring training?
Yes. Yes, we – oh.
See what I'm doing there?
Do they have spring
there?
Training games already?
There's spring training going on right now.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, we can. Drive down to Arizona?
How far is that?
I don't know. Doesn't matter. We can still do it. Because
you're a grown man. You're 40.
I'm a man. I'm 40. You know why we can do it? Because they don't play on Sunday. Isn't that great? They don't play on Sunday, so we could drive down late Saturday and catch some Sunday spring training. Why is that so funny to me?
I don't know, but it's so right.
It's so right. All right. Let's go to prediction time. All right, first game.
Hold on. So it's a 4-hour, 39-minute drive from Las Vegas to Phoenix.
Easy. Easy peasy.
We can totally do that.
Totally do that. Totally do it.
Wow. This just happened, everybody.
You know what we should have done this year was go to the World Baseball, whatever it's called, WBC.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Southern California? Okay, you don't care. All right. First round on Friday, number 8 seed Pepperdine versus number 9 seed Pacific. Who you got?
A little late on the mute button there. I apologize, everybody. I'm going to go with Pepperdine. Pepperdine.
Going with Pepperdine. I'm going with Pacific. All right. Number 7, San Diego against 10th seeded Portland. Matt, who you got?
San Diego.
I am going to call this for San Diego. Portland is absolutely terrible.
The Pirates are not good.
So on Saturday in the quarterfinals, Gonzaga will be, in my opinion, playing Pepperdine. In your opinion, playing Pacific, or was it the other way around? Doesn't matter.
You
Gonzaga
said Pacific,
wins.
I said Pepperdine, but it still doesn't matter. Doesn't Gonzaga matter. Wins.
Gonzaga wins. All right. 4th-seeded Santa Clara, 5th-seeded San Francisco. I think this will actually be one of the better games of the tournament. I'm picking San Francisco.
I also choose the Dons.
Choose the Dons. Don, our brother, approves of choosing the Dons. Is that too cheesy?
Yes, he does.
Was that too cheesy?
Wait, that was a total dad joke, and you should be embarrassed.
I'm a dad.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
I have 5 children. I get to tell dad jokes.
This is embarrassing.
Don't you get to tell dad jokes when you hit 3 children? Isn't that the rule?
I guess.
I had 3 children a long time ago.
Yes, you did.
So St. Mary's and San Diego, 2nd seed St. Mary's. Matt, I have the Gales.
Yeah, St. Mary's wins that game.
And then BYU versus Loyola Marymount. Is this a letdown game, Matt, or does BYU pull it off?
I don't know what to do with this. I don't know what to do. BYU pulls it off. All right, yeah, BYU wins.
BYU wins. All right. So that means Gonzaga and San Francisco in the semifinals on Monday. Who you got?
Ooh, sorry, Dons. Gonzaga rolls. Down.
Gonzaga rolls. That's not even a close game. St. Mary's and BYU, obviously St. Mary's has owned the Cougars so far this year. Matt?
I'm picking the Cougs. I'm drinking the Cougs. Kool-Aid. Let's go.
I think they're rolling. I think they're rolling. Okay. So, Matt, that means we both believe that on Tuesday night, the championship game will be between Gonzaga and BYU. Matt, who you got?
I'm taking the Zags.
Yeah, me too. I don't think there's much chance we can beat them twice in the year. And I think, I'll tell you what, they are not going to do what they did in that first half against us, where they kind of, you could kind of feel them letting up a little bit, right? It's just like.
They took their foot off the gas and they paid for it.
Yeah, they were just excited. Yeah, undefeated season, baby. So, Matt, lamer or not as lame? No. Lamer or lamer? I don't know how to play this game. I'm thinking, what is more lame? I'm going to give you a choice between two things, okay?
Are both of them already lame?
Yes, but which one is lamer?
So okay. Lamer and lamest.
Lamer and lamest, or lamer-er.
Lamer-er, all right.
Lamer-er. All right, here we go. Gonzaga fans chanting NIT at the end of their team losing their chance at a perfect season and potentially a 1 seed in the NCAA tournament, or Utah fans chanting Pac-12 in the streets of Salt Lake City after they were put into the Pac-12.
Ooh, that's pretty close, but I'm going to go ahead and say Gonzaga fans. As much as I'd love to say that the Utah fans are lamer, but listen, when your team loses a game, like, you don't get to chant anything.
No, you can't. You basically are making fun of yourself.
And guess what? The fact that BYU is going into the NIT, that's not news.
No.
That wasn't news. We all knew that walking into this game.
No.
Do you know what it is news? 29-1.
Yes, that was big news. It led SportsCenter.
You know, and with the Utah thing, at least they're cheering for something that happened to their team. Like, they're cheering out of joy.
Yes.
The Gonzaga fans are cheering out of spite.
Yes. Yes, it was terrible fan form, and I expect better from the Zag fans going forward. expect a little,
if
a little
all bit of more. The one Zag fan that listens to this podcast has taken note.
All right. So Dan Roach on Twitter, that's at Brute.
Actually, I think we have a couple of Zag fans that listen did BYU undergrad and Zag grad school or something.
Yeah, I think we do.
I think we got a couple. There's a couple.
But I haven't heard from them. So Dan Roach on Twitter says, are you more optimistic about BYU's chances in the WC tourney after Saturday's win? Is an auto bid on the table? The answer is yes. I am more confident, and yes, an auto bid is on the table. No, they're not going to get it.
I am more optimistic. Before this win, I would not have picked them to beat St. Mary's.
Me either.
But the auto bid, yeah, I mean, it's up for grabs for the winner of the tournament, but that's not going to be in the equation for the Cougars.
No, it's not going to be in the equation for the Cougars this year. But here's the thing. There is a chance. And by the way, if they do beat Gonzaga to win the WCC championship and St. Mary's, which neither of those things are a given, right? If you look at if they are able to do that, okay, this is one of those classic where we're going to knock a team that quote unquote deserves it more than us out of the tournament, you know, and BYU doesn't win conference tournaments historically, very rare.
No, we have a hard time winning conference tournament games.
Yes. But yes, I think they have a chance, but I'm putting it at less than 10%. They've got to beat St. Mary's, who, let's remind ourselves, is still a very good team that stomped us twice, right? And likely Gonzaga. Now, if something crazy happened and they didn't have to play either of those teams, then I like their chances a lot better. But, come on. Gonzaga's not going to lose to any of those possible four teams they'll play in the quarterfinals or semis. I mean, it's not even going to be close.
No.
Let's keep in mind that we're a better team. We're the third best team in the conference, not just by record, but just statistically speaking. We're the third best team. So, and there's a big drop-off after that. So, Matt, our friend of the podcast, Dick Harmon, asked this question. Is Eric Mika, in case you didn't know which Mika I was talking about, is he the West Coast Conference Player of the Year? Matt, if you had a pick, you big homer, do you pick Eric Mika as the Conference Player of the Year?
I'm not sure I'm ready to pick him as Player of the Year.
No, it's Jock Landale, isn't it?
I think so. I don't even know if he's number two.
I'd probably go with... It's tough with Gonzaga because they're so even, right, among their top three. Between Williams, Karnowski, and Williams-Goss, you look at those top three and you go, well, gosh, any three of them could be an MVP candidate, right? Or Player of the Year candidate.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's a tough one. I think he will get votes, and rightfully so. I don't think he wins it, though, and I'm not sure he deserves to win it. As awesome as he's been this year, I'm not sure he deserves to win it.
Yeah, probably not.
That being said, Matt, okay, Eric Mika, everyone's asking, and we got several tweet bag questions, including off of Brian Taylor off of Facebook, and you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/riseandshout. Percent chance Mika leaves at the end of the season for the NBA. Matt?
It's probably greater than 50.
No. Are you serious? No, it's not greater than 50.
Well, you just got to – well, if you're Mika, you have to sit down, and this is the question you have to ask yourself. Will my stock get higher? And by how much? And what's the downside risk of staying? That's the question you have to ask.
But here's the thing. It's not really the question you have to ask, because the question is your stock high enough, right? His stock may not get higher, but if he's a second-round draft pick, it's not guaranteed. A lot of them don't even make rosters. The last mock draft I've seen, none of them are listing Mika in their draft boards right now. None of the major sites, okay? And the last one I saw for 2018, like an early pick, had him as the 59th pick. Now, that was back in December. So stuff has happened since then, but he was playing at an elite level back then. I don't think there's – I think it's like a 1% chance he goes.
So he's not even thinking about it.
I'm sure he's thinking about it. I wouldn't doubt that he's thinking about it. But I just think when he talks to people, we saw a lot of what makes him awesome in this game. You also saw some of the things that he still lacks. Number one, he's not a great passer yet. He's a good passer, but he's got to improve there. Number two is his defense. Karnowski on a couple plays made him look really bad. And Karnowski is a good offensive college player, not a great one. Now, can you imagine guarding some of those centers and power forwards that are in the NBA right now? He'd get toasted. He's got to work on that defensive side. So I don't think I don't.
Yeah,
think
you're right. I got a little too excited there. I got a little too excited.
Well, I mean, I realize people are looking at his stats and looking at everything, but let's remember, when was the last time BYU had a big man make it in the NBA? Like, really make it? Brandon Davies kind of did. He stuck around for a few years.
Yeah, but I think if you're Mika, you got to look at the Collinsworth experience. You know, maybe not so much the Fredette experience, but definitely the Collinsworth experience, and say to yourself, you know, this is probably a good place for me right now.
Yeah, exactly. You want to be a second round NBA draft pick? It's not guaranteed money, you know, or try to stick with your buddies and do something special that you'll remember the rest of your life. Again, all of this goes out the window if somebody comes and tells him you're a lottery pick. Then he's going to the draft, and he should. I'll be very sad. But right now, he's not on any of those boards that I have seen so far. And, you know, it's not as if he hasn't been getting press all year. He certainly has, right? So, Matt, before we move on and quickly talk about football, do you want to play? We talked about this briefly last week. Do you want to play Utah in the NIT?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I do.
I want to pound them. End of discussion. All right. So, Matt, we had a football question from a longtime tweet bagger, Andre Hutchins. That's at @AC_Hutchins on Twitter. He says, I'm very curious as to why both Mangum brothers gave BYU the W against the U so easily in your early season predictions, which we made 2 weeks ago. Remember that BYU has lost 6 in a row to the Utes. Andre, I've blocked that from my memory. I don't remember that.
Yeah, but if you go back 6 losses, when was the first one of those was in what year?
Long time ago.
Yeah, a long time ago. Guess who's not at BYU? Anybody involved with that loss?
Yep.
That history means nothing to me. Means nothing.
To me too. I don't think Utah's going to be a great team next year. I think we'll be a better team. And it's in Provo. To me, I don't know that we picked it easily. I think we both said that Utah's a good enough team that's a game that's in doubt, right? I mean, it isn't one of those wins at the end of the year where we're saying if BYU loses, it's a travesty, right? I mean, Utah's a good enough team to beat us in Provo. Neither of us are saying they're not.
Right, and I think there's a couple games in there I think are very tough wins for us, right, that we've predicted as losses. And then of some of these, you know, I think there's kind of 3 tiers of opponents in 2017, right? There's a bunch of teams that we're definitely going to beat. There's some teams that we could beat, maybe should beat. And then there's some teams that it'd be a stretch to call that game a win.
Yes.
And I put Utah in kind of that middle category. I mean, we could lose that game. We could win that game. We will lose one of the games in that group. Yes. Maybe it'll be Utah. Maybe it'll be somebody else.
Yeah, it could be Boise State.
I mean, I don't think Utah is terrible. But
no, man, they're definitely not terrible. And I would love to end that streak, right? I mean, that'd be great. No one's going to complain about that. But I'm not hesitant to pick a W there because I think we'll be the better team next year. Now, we may be wrong. We're all making guesses right now. It's early season. I mean, spring football hasn't even started yet, right? So, but speaking of that, Matt, that's a beautiful segue. Spring practice starts on Monday.
Oh, so, Matt,
pick the 2 things you need to see in spring practice. What do you need to see in spring practice to make you feel better about the Cougars in 2017?
I'd like to hear about receivers kind of emerging
Catching the ball would be nice. I'd like to hear them catching the ball, not dropping it.
But you know what? We've talked about this before. Spring football, I mean, it's so hard to use that as a real barometer for what the team's going to look like in the fall. Because by the end of spring ball, I mean, everybody thinks we look like national champions.
Yes. You're either way over-optimistic or way pessimistic, and probably neither of those things would be warranted.
So the biggest thing I want out of spring football is I just don't want anybody to get hurt.
For me, the first thing that I want to see, and I'm going to pick two different things just because that's more fun, is I want to see on defense who are going to be the playmakers. Now, as you pointed out, we may not see that in the spring. A lot of times, if people are dinged up at all, they never scrimmage, right? So that's a big thing. The next part is flip to the other side of the ball. What about the offensive line? Are we going to see changes there? Are we going to see personnel changes? They actually were playing fairly well towards the end of the season after having some rough games early on. But those are two big question marks for me, is playmakers on defense after losing Nacua and Longy. And then who's going to step up? Obviously, there are some guys that are already there, but I mean, maybe in those other positions. And then the offensive line, which is still to me kind of an enigma. I don't know.
There'll be some cool position changes that'll come out of spring ball.
Yeah, like did you hear Tanner Mangum's playing safety?
Yeah, that's awesome. He's going to be so good.
He's going to be such a good safety. He's got the mentality for it. You know who I think Tanner Mangum is, personality-wise?
Who?
Andrew Luck. Like, couldn't you see those guys hanging out on the weekend?
Maybe, but I feel like my view of Andrew Luck's personality is skewed by the general Andrew Luck era Civil War Twitter handle.
Fair enough.
Sorry, I missed the mute button on that cough. But
yeah, fair enough. I gotta tell you, that may be true. But have you ever seen those clips where Andrew Luck is like telling the guy that sacked him, "Nice job, that was a really good sack," but not in a mocking way.
No, right? He's like dead serious. Tanner probably does that.
I bet you Tanner does stuff like that. Like, he just, like, after every win and everything, is all smiley and, you know.
I think it was Winston who said after that Elite 11 quarterback camp back in the day that he felt like Tanner Mangum was the nicest stone cold killer he'd ever met.
And I'll tell you what, we're going to get to see that this year. For sure. See him taking people down. And as we talked about the last couple of weeks, if he wins one of those games, Wisconsin, LSU, I mean, those Hail Marys have already made him quite a legend in BYU football. That'll take it to another level, Matt.
Oh, yeah.
So next week, I'm not exactly sure when we're going to record, Matt. It'll probably depend on BYU's success within the tournament. If they're in that championship game, if they were in that championship game, we'll do a halftime. How about that? We'll do a halftime show on Facebook. So go to facebook.com/riseandshout. One of us will be on there for that halftime. If not, either we record that night or we record Wednesday, and it's probably going to be a football show more than it is a basketball show, because we won't know like where they're going for the NIT or any of that stuff yet. So, but anyway, so check back, and we'll follow us on Twitter or Facebook, and you'll know when we're going to record. But probably Wednesday or something. All right. Well, Matt, that's been a show. That's been a podcast.
Yeah, it has. And I wanted to go back. I felt like I jumped on Andre's question a little bit. But I believe, is it Andre and I that have kind of the made-up Facebook beef?
No, I think that was somebody else you said dumb stuff about.
See, I'm a little foggy right now. I'll just go ahead and admit.
Let's see here. I'm trying to find your face. Oh, it was. Andre Hutchins says, "What, Matt, what's with the beef? 140 yep. characters is a big handicap and a legit excuse for unintended trolling. And then I said, "Matt, exactly what is the beef?"
And I tried to pull out of the beef, but he said he was on.
Yeah.
So it's on.
Yeah,
I'm going to retract my I feel bad for jumping on his tweet bag question.
Yeah, you're going to retract your retraction?
Because we got a beef.
Yeah, you're retracting your retraction. I like it. You and Andre, like if if we run into him at a football game, are you two just going to like stare at each other uncomfortably?
I don't know. It's going to be awkward. Whatever it is, it's going to be awkward.
Some eyes, wee beady eyes, just staring at each other, staring each other down. Maybe a little like push or something. By the way, I don't have your back.
You just made it more awkward.
Yeah. If he pushes you and goes, if you two go at it, I'm just stepping back. You know that about me, right?
I'm not surprised by that at all. Yeah, not even a little. Back.
I'm not messing up the moneymaker. That's my face, by the way. to protect you. Uh-oh. We're going to start him with a coughing fit. He's just put us on mute, folks. Well, this is probably as good time as any to end the podcast. What's supposed to be that funny?
I want to mess up the moneymaker. Oh, that's great. That's a winner right there. If that doesn't make the intro, I don't. Or maybe
no,
you just
no,
save
you
that
gotta,
little
you gotta save
at the
that.
End.
Yeah, you gotta
that's,
save that.
That's a nice morsel right there. Don't want to mess up the moneymaker.
If you made it to the end, hashtag Adam Moneymaker. One word, hashtag Adam Moneymaker. Well, Matt, you made it 55 minutes into this show, even with being sick. Hats off to you, bud. Hats off to you.
I poured a tall drink to get me through the show. Yes. And I'm just reaching the bottom of the cup, so we're wrapping up right on time.
We're wrapping up right on time for sure. All right. Well, thank you guys for downloading and listening. If you're listening for the first time, go ahead, and if you like the show, even if you didn't like the show, sometimes we're better, go to iTunes or any of your favorite podcast players, find us, and then follow us so you get the feed every week. Join our conversation on Twitter at @BYU_RiceShout, on Facebook at facebook.com/RiceAndShout, or shoot us an email and tell us what you thought of the show, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. One word, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. Again, thank you for downloading and listening, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars!